For the tape, it's study 133 in what we have called wisdom, along with the workman's interlinear that Jack has. And we've been dealing with this last verse of chapter 3 of 1 Timothy. Now, and we broke it down into six different parts. And so we're on the fifth part, I think, tonight. And it says that God was believed in the system. But we're going to read the entire verse again to kind of keep things going in order. And I'll just read it out of the King James. And it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And it says, "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up in the glory." So we're going to deal tonight with the believed on in the world. And so you say, well, Cecil, how is that? How did that come about? Well, Jack didn't write up a big thing on it, but he put notes out there from each part of this, and he says, 2 Thessalonians 1:10. And so I got to looking and got to looking at it, and I got to doing a little study on the thing, and it was referring me to Hebrews, and I realized that Hebrews was written after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We've got a little chart. I don't know who did it, whether Larry did it or...
I think it was Larry's, yeah.
I guess it was Larry's. And so Larry's...
I think it matches up pretty close with what's in the CV, though.
Well, Larry was, he was right on with this, because looking at 1st and 2nd Thessalonians a little bit, which was written along about between the 13th and 15th chapter, I think, of Acts. Then you get to the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, and it talks about the things that was already spoken about in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And so those that dealt with the companion Bible, I think kind of come to the conclusion, probably Larry did too, that was probably the way it was. And of course, you got Paul writing these books, and everybody realizes, or most people realize or feel like, that Paul did write Hebrews also. It's because of his situation dealing with the Israelites a lot and so on, that I think that was the reason that he didn't really sign off on the Hebrew deal. But
to paraphrase, with the Jews, his name wasn't the best in the name.
No, and and the word had spread around, and a lot of them that had never met him didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And this was the deal when he was struck down on the road and blinded with, who was that, Ananias?
Ananias, yeah. Lord, we've heard of this.
We've heard of this man. We don't have nothing to do with him. The Lord straightened him out on that and said, well, he's a chosen vessel unto me. And he's praying and waiting on his saint to come back. And so you go pray for him. And so that, when you look at that and you look at everything that's been going on, well, here, and some of the things in that I looked at was when Paul and Barnabas Party Company. And that was before, I think Paul went to the Hebrews with his, letter or whatever it was that he sent to them concerning their understanding of the word, which wasn't much because he told them, he says, you know, it was your job to get out and to show the people God's grace and his way of dealing with his people. But you were supposed to know, but now you need somebody to
teach you.
And so he said, so here I am, or I have written to you and I've been with you, you son. So, this was the reason why I wanted to go and to look at some of the stuff that Paul wrote in Hebrews there, because I think to me that gave me a little better picture than what I found in 2 Thessalonians. And to realize that, well, it was written a little bit after that. And we're talking about a 22-year span here in that period of time. So there was a lot that went on. And Paul was, I think, was in Corinth when he probably wrote this to the Hebrews, because he was dealing with some of them in Corinth, when they were in Corinth. And so, yeah, you know, he saw the need for that to take place, and so here we are. And so it says God was believed in the world system. So the world system had come to know a little bit about Christ, but it wasn't because of the Jews, but it was because the Jews were getting to hear this, and they were talking among themselves some. Not so much as teaching, but they, you know, it always come up probably in conversations. So, and this is how the Gentiles got to know some of this stuff also, because they were hearing it too. They wanted to hear more. And so Paul wound up having to go to Rome, and by having to go to Rome, then a lot more heard it when he got there. And of course, that's when the clock was unplugged for the Jews there in Acts 28:28. So here we are. Believed in the world. And then it said God was received in glory. But we're gonna talk about the two things here. The two things that we hadn't really yet talked about much was that when Christ was received back up into glory, in Acts, early in Acts, there, that, it was promised that he was going to come back. And certainly, that's what we need to look forward to. We need to look at something that has a hope. And when Israel was cut off, then their hope was cut off. So you see, there was a dispensational shift a little later down the road there that we're talking about here. Okay, let's get involved in it a little bit. And I want to go to, I want to go to Hebrews, as I said, and in Hebrews, I want to go to Hebrews 9 and start at verse 11. And then, it would do us good to go all the way through the rest of verse chapter 9 and a little ways down into verse 10 if we have time to do that. I mean in chapter 10. If we have time to do that. Okay. Hebrews, now remember, Hebrews 9:11, and this was after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians had been written. And to realize what it was written about, that was a future time. But here in Hebrews, it ain't so much a future time anymore because Paul has already wrote them two epistles. But let's look in 9:11, talking about Christ here. And all this verse of scripture here is about Christ and what he meant not only to the past dispensation, but to the present dispensation, if you call or understand the time that we're living in now, this present dispensation. But let's read a little. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So Christ came and showed them that there was a better way of doing things. And certainly it was. And then Christ, as the high priest, certainly had the opportunity to do that as a high priest, if he so desired. And he was going to show them a more perfect place that they could look to worship than their building, because it was his body that was more important and what he could do with it. Verse 12, it says, neither by blood, by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So, if anybody ever asks you, well, what, when did they stop using animals as their sacrifice for their sins for that year? Well, Christ did it himself when he gave his blood. It was said, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, and this was the heavenly place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. And you know, in that day and age, I've read that many of those who call themselves Jews this day are still looking for the red heifer without any other color. And if they get one, they will kill it and put it on the altar and keep the ashes sprinkle into their place of worship. And so that's the reason for the ashes of heifer being mentioned here, because it was done all through the Old Testament by the law. And you see, those who claim to be Jews today are still looking and hoping for, you know, the same thing to come about. But nevertheless, this is a different dispensation today. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, and this is asking the question, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The question is, how much better was the blood of Christ than the blood of the calves, the bulls and the heifers and all of the things that they used under the law, rather than really under the one that came to live among them and to be their redeemer? And it says in 15, and for this cause, he is the mediator, listen to this, of the New Testament, Of course, the new covenant, if you will, the testament and the covenant is like our Old Testament, New Testament, that by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant or testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So eternal inheritance is based upon what God had offered people in the past dispensations and also the present dispensations. If it wasn't for an inheritance, then what good would it be? If you don't have an inheritance, if you don't have a promise of something, then what are you establishing your hope on? And this is what Paul is writing to these young Hebrews about. You know, saying, you need somebody to teach you. Here I am, I'm teaching it. And it talks about a testament and a testator. So it says, for a testament is a force after men are dead. That's what we call a will in testament generally. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. If somebody makes a will, the will ain't worth the paper it's wrote on until he's gone. And in a common way of saying it, that's the way it is. And so he says, whereupon, in 18 there is, wherefore not even dedicated. Neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. So he said, well, the first promises that God made to mankind were not made without blood. Always blood. And he says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet, wool and hyssops and sprinkled both the book and all the people. So this was where God was keeping the book. It was by works. And it was by the law. And it was by the blood of bulls and calves and goats and all these things that it was done. Okay. He's going back to tell them how it was, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. In verse 20. And it says in 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So if the high priest doesn't come and do his job with your offering that you offered for sin, then how are you going to be free of it? And it only lasted a year. And evidently, Paul is laying this out like these people didn't really know what he's saying here, what he's talking about. In my view, in verse 23 of Hebrews 9, it says, and it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So you see, what they had in the temple in Jerusalem was a copy of the heavenly things that God had in the heavens. And so, Paul tells them that it was necessary that the pattern of the way of things is done in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves, or in the temple, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. And so here we're getting down to verse 24. And it says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but Christ into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Okay, think on this thing. When they put him on the cross, on the hill, Golgotha, where all these killings were being done, where these people were hanging on the cross, and when they come to Christ to forward this business on a little bit, they found that he was already dead. And so they pierced him, and out came blood and water. And it wasn't mixed. So evidently, they pierced him probably through his bladder to get the water, and on up into his body to get the blood. And you remember when we had the study, and Ronnie did the study of blood, and God knows where all the blood is, and all the blood needs to be reconciled. Well, when Christ comes back and sets up the throne of David, the earthquake's going to be there. There's going to be a great space of land opened up to where those that will be brought in to know God, especially the Israelites that were promised God but never got to see him because they were dead already before he got there. Wouldn't you believe that maybe that the throne area where Christ is going to sit on David's throne while he's on the earth is where that blood was spilled on that ground? He's going to sit on his blood. If you ever thought about it, and this is the way I think about it, that surely he's going to give what blood he spilt there, the presence of being holy and on a holy place, and what he took into heaven, God accepted it and put it on the mercy seat and all the things that he does as a high priest in heavenly places. And it was done in heaven. So he carried his blood because he had already died. And he carried that blood, and God accepted it and used it for the remission of sins in the heavenly places. But it was his son's blood. Because it said, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, that's the temple, which are a figure of the true. That's truth. Because the temple was made just in a smaller size. I don't know if they had to be the same size or not, but it was made as God gave Solomon and those men that worked on the temple, the ways and showed them how and all it was to be put forth, and it was. And so it was a better sacrifice than anything they had done on earth before. Bulls, the goats, the heifers, the cows, whatever they used, was not what God was looking for. What he was looking for was the holy blood of his son who had no sin, and he took it as a sin offering for all of us. And if we can't understand that, then what can we understand? That's the way it is. That's the way it was. That's the way it was done. Verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others or the animals. So this is the answer to that understanding. No more. Once a year. One time. For all. Pretty simple when you think about it. But yet, think about the greatness that was had there. Because the aeons ago, when the Father and the Son agreed that this was going to take place, it was now there, being done. And so that's the reason our faith can be instilled in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than ourselves. We cannot do all this stuff. Man could never do it. The price had to be paid the way that God intended for it to be paid. Now, did the world understand this? Maybe not. But the world had heard about it. Because after Jesus arose, a lot of people seen him for the 40 days that he was back there. And I guess the word of his ascension probably got out to most of the world at that time. Maybe not that day, but within traveling time of how they did it then. Verse 26, it says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he's looking at it as it's a done deal. This is the end of it. And the way it was written in the King James, I don't know, been a long time since we got into this, but we understand that, he says, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So if he done it once, for him, that was the end of that. There was no question about that. So if you can believe that, or if it can be believed by those that hear and understand to realize what had happened, he could certainly be believed in the world system. Verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And here, he is talking to Jews. Remember this. And so the Jews are still waiting on a judge. As well as I understand. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So when he went back, and now they know Thessalonians, and they've got an understanding of what's going to happen in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So is that the second. He's going to appear to them the second time without sin and the salvation. What about the ones that never got to see Christ? And he's going to raise Israel up because God knows who Israel is. And so he's going to be sitting there and they're going to realize, well, what our ancestors wrote has come true because I'm looking at him. And he has already paid the price for those that would not have hope.
Came the first time without sin.
Yeah.
Lived the perfect life and was qualified to pay the price.
Yeah.
And through that was resurrected.
He'll come back without sin.
And sits at the right hand of God where someday he will, as you said, return once again without sin.
Yeah.
And, to them that look upon him, I believe the whole reason that, Israel's raised again, they're given yet another chance.
Yeah. So. I think it's going to go back to what they knew too. Yeah. That's my own.
As Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith, having not received their promises.
Yeah.
And you can't give a dead man anything.
Promises, no.
And you can't fulfill promises to a dead man.
So there has
in order to keep his word, God has to raise him up.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Ezekiel 37, right. His description of what's going to happen fits perfectly.
Right. Now, and I know I wouldn't have time to get 10 and 11, so I just said, well, we'll just go on a little ways in 10. What time is it now?
9:06.
Okay. We'll just go on with 10 until we run out of time or get down to where we want to go. It said, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. This is, I call a shadow here a blueprint. I've made notes in my Bible.
Image of it, yeah.
Yeah. Having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can ever these sacrifices which were offered year by year continually make the comers therefore unto perfect. And it says also in the Word of God that, you know, the law can't save anybody. It was to point you to the one that could save
Amen.
You.
Amen.
For then would they not have ceased to be offered. They not have ceased to be offered because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in these sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings, thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I am come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so that's what the Son did. He did the will of God. Because all of these writings that we have in Holy Writ points to the one that could do that and said he would do that, and he did do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so now we have hope of that, and so we can tie our faith onto his faith and move with that understanding regardless of what else we understand. And it says, above when he said sacrifices and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And it was done according to the law that was given to Moses to give to his people, to Israel. And so we understand that here Paul was writing to these people and dealing with these people in a different dispensation than we live in today. And he says, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. So the Old Testament is done away with, that the new covenant would take its place regardless of what was promised. When you do away with one thing and you replace it with another thing, with God, it's always better.
Amen.
You don't trade down with God. He doesn't trade down with us. He trades up with us. This is the way it works. Regardless of what he's promised to other people, if he chooses to make a greater promise to somebody, there's generally a way that God can reconcile all this stuff. He doesn't do anything without a way to bring it back into balance. He can always reconcile everything that he's ever said. So we go back to the very first verse that was talking about there in 1 Timothy 3:16. You know, where it says, it's without controversy. That's just the way it is. And God's promises are done in such a fashion that you really can't argue with it, because there's an answer for all of it. We may not understand it, and we may not see it all, but here it is. It's in the book. The answers are in the book, and we need to look at the book. And, you know, just like I was talking to somebody before, I've got a sister that's got the book. But everywhere, if she goes from one church to another church, she wants to get baptized again. And they say, there's only one baptism. And I said, well, hon, are you really sure you have the Holy Spirit in you? And that made her look right funny at me, because she had invited me to come to another baptism of hers. And so that's what I had to say to her. Do you not understand that you only need the baptism of the Spirit now? That's the latest thing out.
So, yeah, but I can read where it tells me I need the water baptism.
And I said, it's in the book. You just ain't read it yet.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know everything that's in the book. I said, you going to stand before God and say that's an excuse? Don't think so. It said, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus. I'm going to invert that. Body of Christ Jesus once for all. Is that not plain as can be said? Really? And it says in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can ever take away sins. So he says, the priest did by the law what he was supposed to do, but said,
it could cover them, couldn't take them away.
Yeah, it covered them for a short time.
Larry used to do the example of paper, P piece of paper to piece of paper, and he covered one piece of paper with another. Yeah. And you know, one represented the sins, and one represented
the covering.
The covering. Yeah. The atonement.
Yeah. Yep. And he said, but this man, in verse 12 of 10, talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, for a day, for a week, for a year, for 10 years, for 1,000 years, no, says forever.
And the ellipsis to those two verses is, he's comparing to the sacrifice that can never take away sins, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. The ellipsis is that his blood did take away the sins.
Yeah, and now it's that part of it's complete.
It's done.
Yeah. It's done. Amen. He don't have to do it anymore. That's done. Took care of. And I thought about this when my wife died, Bobby Ann died. And it was like, I understood that although I didn't see anything, I didn't feel anything really, but I almost looked for the door to open. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to dwell in a dead body. And so the Holy Spirit goes back to God. Why? With whatever he needed to give her life again. I don't doubt that for one second. And I don't know of anybody that could talk me in to believing that for one second. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting, or let's put it this way, from now on, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. See, there's coming a time when he's going to right everything that Satan did and those that were with Satan and did the work following Satan. And they're going to be his footstool. They're going to be put under the feet of this one that sat down with all this glory that he did for us. And all these things that he did that we couldn't do for ourselves. And with a brand new hope later on down the road here from these verses of scripture that we're reading, comes a new hope with new understanding concerning the body of Christ and shows us the difference between the Lord's inheritance and the Father's inheritance in the Word of God. Now, sometimes people don't believe that. But certainly God is going to deal with his people. And of course, he allowed Christ to do what he did in order to take care of the rest of that. And then you have the book of John sitting out here by itself that says that you can have life through his name. Even if you didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, the way I look at it, and I might be wrong, but I challenge you to look to see for yourself, because that's how it's come down to my mind and my heart. And I don't have any problem with the Holy Spirit working between the three of them to keep me online. Because if he does guide, direct, and lead me, I don't know who will. I certainly do not want it to be someone that tells me lies and expects me to believe it. We got any time left, brother?
No. 9:18.
Okay. Okay. For henceforth expecting or waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14 of chapter 10. This is good stuff, folks. For by one offering he hath perfected for even forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. Will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Do you realize what the job of the Holy Spirit is really doing in mankind, and why some get it and why some can't lay the book down and the others can't pick the book up? Oh, we could get on a preaching deal with this, but now let's kind of keep it in line. But now, this is good stuff, folks. This is great. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their mind. You got to have your mind and your heart in line with the Holy Spirit to understand these things that we're talking about. People can read the Bible all their life and never come to this understanding. I never heard my grandpa explain it to me, and he was a Wesleyan Methodist preacher. But I didn't get it until I was 33 years old, and I started getting it then. I'm still getting it now. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now when remission, where remission of these is, there is no more an offering for sin. We don't have to go out and get an animal and take the blood and use it. The blood has already been applied to us by Christ, the Son of God. You see, His holiness in Mary overcome all the sins that He was subject to become someone, a man of God with blood. His holiness was something that the sin of Mary, his mother, couldn't overcome. But he could forgive her with the price of his blood. He came here with blood from her. And she left here because of his blood. And he had paid the price for her with his blood. And he had paid the price for me and you with his blood.
That's the thing about Mary I thought about the other day. If there was one human on the earth that truly knew that Christ got here a very miraculous way, and was who he said he was, it had to be his mom.
Yeah.
Everybody else had to believe the testimony. She knew firsthand.
Knew for her firsthand, yeah.
She knew firsthand who he was.
Well, between her and him.
She knew that she got pregnant without ever having a man.
Yeah.
She knew.
Well, the situation with her and him, there was a lot of things. We don't know where he came from, what his beginning was, but the fact is, maybe a lot of this stuff he didn't go through the way we do with a birth of an individual. of another individual. See, so therefore that was different, and a lot of things that she understood, because it the word tells you that she went and pondered on these things. That she really, and I think that's the reason she went to see Elizabeth after she got pregnant. And while she was there, they were talking, and Elizabeth had been pregnant for 6 months with John the Baptist. And he said, when they spoke these things, that John the Baptist leaped for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. Yep. Or leaped. Well, he couldn't show no joy because he was enclosed in another woman, another person. But the fact, the power that we're talking about here is really kind of beyond imagination.
It sure is.
that we can talk about and see and understand. Okay. Believed on in the world system. Well, if he ain't, he's gonna be. Because when Christ comes back, according to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, when Christ comes back and all these events start taking place again, I think he's going to have the earth again will be have people going out and testifying of Christ, which Israel did not do. And I think that's 144,000 that's been set aside and have not been called virgins, having not been with woman. And they're going to go out while Christ sits on his throne, and they're going to evangelize the world. They're going to do what Israel didn't do to start off with. That 144,000. I don't think they'll have to go through a lot of the things that the body of Christ won't have to go through either. And so when you rightly divide the words, you go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. And you rightly divide the word that God understands that you have wisdom concerning his word that the Holy Spirit is going to continue with you until you're not here anymore to enlighten and to give you direction and to make you realize and to allow you to realize that you cannot be lost anymore. Because if all these things, if the mind and the heart and the Holy Spirit can't lead and guide you in one direction, then you certainly could be lost. But I think with all these things, it's kind of like, you know, saying, well, the government, if God can know where you are, the government can know where you are.
Let's take shelter now.
Here?
Well, there's another.
It says, National Weather Service tornado warning in this area till 10:15. Take shelter now in the basement or in the interior room.
Yeah, they said it could be tornadic winds and some of this stuff. So, we'll go ahead and call it a day with this. We could go on and on and on. I mean, we could sit here at midnight. It's wonderful, great, marvelous things when you can. It's just like it unfolds like you're watching something on a screen. It just unfolds to you when you begin to see what he's done for us. And this was the picture that Paul was giving to these young Hebrews, because the people that he was dealing with were the sons and daughters of those that came through the wilderness. They were born evidently on the journey, because you see, it wasn't that far down the journey there is all they had was the younger people. They didn't have the older ones so much because a lot of them died in the wilderness. But yet, coming down the road, if you looked out your wonder and you've seen 1,000,000 people coming, 1,200,000 people coming down the road, are you going to stay there? You're going to leave. You know, that would be something that, you know, you get to a big ball game or something somewhere where you're drawing 100,000 people high, you know, but make it about 11 times that much, yeah, you know. You know, when you get to Ruth and you get to where she was in that city down there, and she says, well, I've heard about y'all and I know that, you know, God's with you. And, so see, she said, just remember me. Mm-hmm. She told the spy that this
talking about Ruth or Rahab.
Rahab, when you remember me. And so she put the string, you know, around her place, and all the other part of the city fell in except her place. And come to find out that she'd become part of the lineage of Christ. Oh, how great is all this?